This is the Yukon Entrepreneur Podcast, and I'm your host, Carrie Johnston. This podcast is produced on the traditional territory of Champaign and Ajax First Nations, and this week we're celebrating Yukon innovators with a special series focused on connecting innovators who are working in health and wellness. And I'm joined today by Gina. Gina, please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, Carrie, thank you very much for the interview invite, and I also acknowledge the traditional territory of the Champaign Ajax First Nation. My name is Gina McDonough. I'm a Tsleil-Waututh Christian First Nation from Dawson City, Utah. I'm from the Wolf Clan on my mother's side, but also acknowledging my other side heritage is my father's side, who's Japanese. So I do live here in Whitehorse. My past career has been with the RCMP, mostly in the Mountain Police, for 21 years as a police officer. And shortly after I retired, I got into the entrepreneurial world.
Wonderful. And how long have you been operating?
Well, I think when you talk about different businesses, I do have three businesses on the go and there's others in the queue. And I've been operating with House of Wolf and Associates. And House of Wolf is looking at community safety within our communities here in the Yukon. We do a lot of community safety planning. We look at community assessments. We look at crime prevention, environmental design. We look at the wholeness, the holistic component of the communities on the wellness side, wrapped around safety. That particular business has been going on for just about 14 years. I started in Quanlin Dunn, actually in the early parts of 2015. And then I rolled into my second business, which is called First People's Coffee. I started that company just about a year ago. And First People's Coffee's mission is to share and celebrate Indigenous stories through basically a delicious small batch of coffee. And what we do is part of the proceeds go to each Indigenous artist. And right now we've three features on the coffee bags, on the light roast, medium roast, and a dark roast with the late Mark Preston, who's a printed artist from Quanlin Dunn First Nation. And what's just really neat about the coffee and the bag design is that the designs that Mark Preston did was to show his artistic work, but it's also about attracting the buyer, to the consumer, to the packaging. So we did three series, a light roast, a medium roast, and a dark roast. And I had the late elder Shirley Adamson, who we named each package as a landmark in the Yukon, for example, Ibex Valley, for example, or Miles Canyon, etc. And the late elder Shirley Adamson had translated to Southern Tshotin. But the whole part of that is to educate people here in Yukon and Canada, even around the world, about Indigenous culture, in particular here in the Yukon. So if people were able to share our stories in a good way, and by attracting them to the bag, but really on the back of it is a QR code that they would open up. They would tell them about who First People's Coffee is, introduce the artist, and who teaches the artist, part of the royalties go back. And then thirdly is that I would, for example, look at putting the Tsleil-Waututh cultural dances on there, or teaching about the Han language, etc. So I can use it in different areas throughout Canada, throughout the world. So that's the second company I got on the go. That's been going on for the last, just about a year and a half now. And, it's been up and running. We do have various First Nations that purchase the coffee. We have local, consumers, local stores here that are purchasing the coffee. I actually just came back from driving on the highway and I was in the, Ketchum store in CarMax and the bags are on the coffee shelf. So it's really great to see that being, showcased in different communities in Yukon. So, and I've had other retail owners, stores, and for example, that have taken the coffee back to Toronto and sold out, and of course, want more. The third company I'm working on right now is to do with Trotec Energy, and that's to do with green hydrogen and looking at bringing the green hydrogen to northwestern Canada, where we can use that as our green energy fuel as opposed to the fossil fuels that we deal with today, especially around the climate change. So those are the three core businesses that I certainly have on the go right now.
Well, that's you're busy. I can. So it's Innovation Week here in the Yukon, and what does innovation mean to you?
I think innovation, what it means to me is it's about, innovation is being sort of like the inventor of something. And, and of course, being an entrepreneur is like, what can I find as a niche market, or what's out there that somebody hasn't done? What can I do, and how can I do all this in a good way, though? How can I contribute to a safer community? How can I, educate people in Canada about our culture, language, our traditions, in a good way, about as Indigenous people, over a beautiful cup of coffee, or how do you, change the world to be, for a greener future for our next generations? And I think that's innovation, is being able to really think outside the box. We always say, I said, well, let's think about in the circle, right? And it's just taking that next step and saying, okay, this is something I thought of. How do I do it? How do I bring this all together? Who are my partners, et cetera? Who do I collaborate with? So innovation to me is about really just taking these ideas that you have and then bringing them alive, just bringing them alive and say, yeah, I can do it, and let there be no barriers.
And how does wellness feature into the work that you do?
Well, this for me features in it through a holistic approach. One of the things that I do is, whatever lens I look through, I look through it from a holistic lens. And when I say that, and I say holistic, I'm talking about your spiritual, mental, emotional, physical side as a human being. And, but also I take it to the next level, where I take that holistic component to the entire community level. When we do the community safety work we do, I don't do it for one individual. I do it for the entire community, and taking a community that's in crisis, trauma, that's gone through the colonial impacts over time, and transforming the community with every member of the community. Well, I'd like every member of the community, and moving them along what I call this economic gap, and to be able to bring them over to the other side where they're economically sustainable within their own community. And the way we start it is about, it's about healing. As an individual, if you've been traumatized, something has happened to you. Well, if I can lay safety first as your foundation, that will stop that, sorry, that will start your steps towards a healing journey. So as you do it for an individual, I do it for the entire community. So wellness plays a huge role in everything that I do, around the communities. Wellness is within the coffee, is about educating people in Canada so we can understand, the impacts of our unhealthy communities, to how do we journey them to make them healthy. A lot of it is around education. How do we educate people around wellness so they understand, these communities just, and people aren't just born this way, right? These are social impacts that happen within our communities, and wellness is a huge component. If we're not a healthy community, we're not healthy humans, right? Everything around us is not healthy. So wellness plays the number one role, and a significant role in what I do. Again, when you talk about climate change, right, that's massive. And you talk about, converting fossil fuels to clean, green energy. That is wellness at a global level. So I think everything I do, I think about wellness as a number one priority.
And what inspires you about the work that you do?
It's a good question. I think I'm driven by passion. Honestly, I'm driven by passion. It's not about, it's not about the dollar figure. It's about a challenge within myself. It's about this passion, thinking, okay, if something can be done to make a better world for everybody, well, I'm gonna figure that out one way or the other. If I could figure out what can be done in a community to make it better for everybody, I'll figure that out, And so I'm inspired by history itself. If history itself has been, I don't want to think the word destructive, but it certainly has done its damage, you know, in particular to our Indigenous community. And I've seen it, you know, being a police officer for 21 years and then, you know, coming back home to Yukon. And here I am into my 39th year of social justice, you know, and I've seen very little change. It inspires me to want to do more for our communities, you know, because we're quick to think that, oh, one system works for all of us. Well, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't work for all communities. If I went into every community, so the one size fits all approach should be done in every community, well, I'd get tossed out. It's not that way. So every community, every individual, I treat uniquely. And I think having in the Yukon the opportunity to be very innovative, creative, to be driven by passion, inspired to take on the global levels, and people here support you on that. They don't think you're crazy. They really support you and say, yeah, okay, what can we do to help you get this done?
And it's a great lead into the next question, which is really like, what bothers you about the current system that your businesses are operating within?
Colonial approach. The colonial system that still exists. You know, it's been 100-something years and we still, you know, it's still here. And I think, you know, sometimes I think they still think it's the right system. You know, when you talk about systems, you know, for Indigenous communities, non-Indigenous communities, where that colonial approach should be the right way. It's not, you know, it's never been. Look at our people are so unhealthy in our communities, particularly Indigenous communities, you know, and to me as self-governing First Nation, I'm trying to glitch in, and I come from Dawson City. We're self-governing First Nation, you know, Champaign-Yaishek is First Nation. You know, if we understand our self-government agreements within those agreements, if you're negotiating your justice system, each First Nation can technically negotiate their own courts, corrections, and policing under the administration of justice. And I'm going, why is it that we keep accepting the status quo? Guess what? We don't need to. So what we need to do is stop accepting what's not working. And I keep saying that to the communities, stop accepting it. You know, and let's find what works for our communities in a good way, you know, because I'm sure our partners would love to see something different. And we need to step up more as First Nation governments and communities say, stop, you know, that's not working. You know, our community safety work that we do, we also developed and designed the community safety officer program, you know, and, you know, we've got 4 communities that have the program and it's successful in its own way. I don't need government to come in and say, oh, your program's successful or not successful. Well, guess what? You don't own the program. The First Nation governments do. They find it successful. So don't come and tell me what's not successful. So I think you really got me going on this. So it's systems, I think, that have taken over us for a number of years now. I think we just need to say stop. You know, we've got well-educated individuals, whether you're educated or not, common sense, right? Elders have been telling us since time immemorial, you know, since your post-European contact through the whole colonial system, that doesn't work. We just need to start listening and saying that and then do something about it. And that's what we're doing. And what bothers me about it is when another system, such as the colonial approach, think that everything they do is best for us, not. And that bothers me how it still exists today. And that's why I operate, say no. It's unacceptable.
What do you think it would take to transform that colonial approach? What's kind of the call to action for Yukoners and Canadians to support you in that work?
Well, you know, that's another good question. And I love this because one of the strategic things I think about is if I wanted to make a difference and I have to find the right people in place that will make the difference. Sometimes it's the government of the day. You know, are they in line with wanting to make that difference? Are they in line with wanting to transform the system? I think so. You know, a little bit, but I think so. Is the federal government in line? Maybe. I think they're doing what they can do, you know. And I think, you know, it's the current system. And when you do the calls for action, for example, is to be in the right place, sometimes the right time, and make sure the right people are in the right place at the right time. You know, if governments align and they have somewhat of the same vision as you do in terms of healthier Indigenous communities across Canada, well, what does that mean? That means, well, we deal with, you know, the calls to action for the murdering missing Indigenous women and girls, 2S plus. In the Yukon, we just had a recent second meeting, strategy meeting on that. And we talked about, you know, what is it that we can do, right? There's all these calls to actions. There's the strategies in place. And for me, it's like aligning government to say, okay, we need your support, and call them on those actions, right? And say, okay, this is great. And one of the neatest things that we did recently is we were through the UN DRIP, United Nations Declaration of Rights on Indigenous People. We actually put in as a draft to include every community in Canada to have a community safety plan completed and a full community assessment, crime prevention, environmental design recommendations, and roll it out. So we actually put it in the UN DRIP in draft, and you know, it's to get to that, those levels sometimes beyond national to international levels to get that recognition. And get out there and educate about the work we do. I get calls now, not just for Yukon. We got several recent calls down to BC. They're hearing about the work we're doing here in the Yukon in terms of healthier communities, right? And the work we do with community safety and the community safety officer program. So, you know, and it's like not just in BC, but across Canada. You know, I know, former chief Doris Spill had received calls from all over the world about the work we're doing. And I think Kualin Dunn, I'm just so proud of that community, Kualin Dunn First Nation. You know, when they called me there in 2013, you know, they were, you know, they had a murder of a young woman in the community. And I think that was the crux of everything. That was the crossing point, you know, and saying, okay, that was the crossroads, saying we got to do something different in our community. And their leadership stood up and did the hard work through tough love, implementing the wellness, implementing the CSO program, doing the community safety work. And look where they are today. They're a healthier community, a whole community, not just an individual, but a whole community, you know, that are thriving, even now having economic sustainability. So when you can get your community, get your entrepreneurial businesses, together to see that bigger vision down the road, get your team players in place, get those partners in place, get the political people aligned, etc. It all comes together and it works.
I love how you're talking about sort of like the Yukon message sort of starting to spread out there about the great work that's happening here in self-government. And, you know, we have a unique lens here in the Yukon, getting to sort of see Canada and the rest of the world through that lens. What lessons do you think Yukon has to share with innovation sort of in wellness at the community level? What lessons do we have to share with the world?
I think the lessons is to allow entrepreneurs the opportunity to be entrepreneurs. You know, if your vision is this big, well, then let them have that vision, right? Support them to achieve it. You know, one of the neatest things is I sit at the Coast Space, Northlight Innovation office, and I have my office here, and I've got 3 staff here, and they allow you to think really big, really broadly. And, you know, you sit with other entrepreneurs and you can have these conversations with them right there, you know, and meeting incredible people that come from different entrepreneurial backgrounds, you know. And I met, a couple of great people here, and with our minds, we put together a proposal under the Arctic Inspiration Prize. In 2021, I was the Arctic Inspiration Prize recipient for my community safety work. You know, that was $500,000 to go towards that. And it's like, wow, you know, it's like the innovation, the great minds and the people that you can collaborate with and partner with to help you achieve these ideas. And then I was recently again thinking again within this entrepreneurial hub and won the Arctic Arctic Indigenous Investment Conference prize for 2023 for my first People's Coffee. You know, so those are opportunities, you know, for people to understand that, you know, you, whatever level you want to go to, you can get to. And I believe in my heart that it's achievable. It's achievable here. We are very fortunate to be in a small territory that you can have a conversation with the premier. You can have a conversation with the ministers, and you can sort of have that, you know, almost intimate conversations where you can never access them in other provinces, let alone do you get to see them. And I think, you know, when you can have those conversations, and even with your MP, like, you know, MP Hanley is a great support, and you don't get access to that. Being in the north with the incredible funding opportunities that such as CanNor that provide, or you've got Dene Ventures that's here to support you, your own First Nations. So, yeah. So I think it's more of the advantage of to be able to see it through the lens that we have. And lessons, I think the lessons is for the world about innovation at the community level is that we need to do more of it. We need to do more of it. And we need to support more of it, because if you don't have innovators and creative minds, et cetera, I think we'd be pretty stagnant.
You know, what's next for you? What's next for your organizations, and where do you see your opportunity?
Holy moly. That's a good question. I think next for me is continue trying to keep up with everything I'm doing. I think next for me is I've actually been selected through the I've actually been selected through the Asian Pacific Foundation of Canada. And through the Asia Pacific Foundation of Canada, I've been selected to go to Asia, South Korea, and Thailand. And it was, again, through the women's entrepreneurship that I applied to under the Asia Pacific Foundation. And it was to do with my green energy project, the green hydrogen project, which is green energy. And I put my name forward with this particular project, and I was actually selected for it. And I thought, what? Are you kidding me? This is little me from good old Dodge Dawson City to be selected to go to Asia, you know, to sort of throw my pitch out there to interested investors or other businesses that have already done the work in green energy. And, you know, I was, it was interesting because I actually saw an article that was in the Financial Post in 2023 that the Prime Minister of Canada himself had actually gone over to South Korea, and the article actually said South Korean company to buy 20% stake in Newfoundland green hydrogen project. And I started this project 3 years ago, and here it is coming to Canada. But so this company called out of South Korea, called SK Ecoplant Company, they're looking at investing about $4.5 billion in this green hydrogen project. And this is coming to Canada, but this is going to be majority of it exported. And I'm going, you know what? I want this in Northwest Canada. You guys are going to export. I want this in Northwest Canada. And I said, I want to meet these people. I want to meet this company in South Korea that, you know, develop is a partnership in the plant, and I want them to do this in Northwest Canada. So we're gonna go over there and do the pitch. So this is kind of exciting, you know, and to go to Thailand and meet the companies that actually develop what they call these electrolyte cells that do the conversion of the green hydrogen. And so the only offset of all of that is water, you know, and you're able to store the green hydrogen. So, and it's all clean. It's 100% clean. So that's my next steps. That's happening at the end of November, first week of December. So I'm really excited about that project.
That is super exciting. And it's great to see that you're able to bring new opportunities from around the world, potentially here, and new investments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, Gina, is there anything else that you want to say before we sign off here today?
No, I just want to say thank you for taking the time to hunt me down to do the interview. I'm really, really excited. I'm very honored. And I just want to say thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. Have a good day.
Okay, bye-bye.